Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
We are going to be taking a journey through Esther chapter 6 today, so you can make your way there. And now, how many of you out there like to watch the award shows for Hollywood? How many of you like to watch shows like the Oscars and all those things? Okay, not very many of you. Now, if I'm honest, okay, the only thing that I like to see is what they're wearing, okay? I like to see the dresses, that's it. Because the rest of it to me is just trash. It's liberal, it's over the top, and I don't watch the rest of it. I just like to see the red carpet arrivals, right? And, you know, me and my mom, you know, we kind of put on our fashion critic shoes the day after, and I'll give her a call and I'll say, "So, Mom, did you see what she wore?" "I did. Oh, that color, it just wasn't working. And that dress, it looked like a pair of old 1960s drapes," right? And so we'll go on, and, you know, we just have fun talking about who wore what. But every once in a while, I like to go back, and I like to watch the acceptance speeches. And, you know, sometimes the tears are flowing, and it's so emotional, or it's like this empowerment speech. It's like you're accepting an award. You know, this isn't a time to run for president. Or, you know, it's something else. You know, who knows what's going on? And when I really think about it, I'm like, an award for acting. It must be so hard to memorize those lines. I mean, right? Now, don't judge me too harshly, ladies, but that is the best the world has to offer. That's the best the world has to offer. An award for acting a part in a movie. A gold trophy that's going to collect dust. It might get lost years from now. It might even get sold on eBay by a relative that's hoping to go on a vacation, right? You can't take it with you. It doesn't last. And as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And I think as Christians, as women, trying to serve the Lord, trying to serve our King in heaven, we can get so discouraged and wonder, is there a reward? Does God see what I do for him? The mom who feels weary and worn out, the godly wife who's trying to love her husband, the grandma who's praying for her children and grandchildren, the single young woman that wonders if living for God is really worth it in the end. I think that as women of God, we can take such hope in a little glimpse of Mordecai's story here today in Esther chapter 6. A man that did what was right without growing weary and without giving up, even when it seemed like there was no recognition. No thank you. We're going to look at 2 points here together today. The first one is, don't grow weary. God sees you. And number 2, your reward is coming, treasure in heaven. Let's open up in a word of prayer together. Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for such a gorgeous day. Thank you that we can come here, God, that we can sit at your feet, that we can read your word without fear of persecution. God, thank you for this time. Would you speak to us? Would you encourage our hearts? Would you convict us? We love you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's jump right in and start reading Esther chapter 6, verse 1. During that night, the king could not sleep, so he gave an order to bring the book of records, the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. It was found written what Mordecai had reported concerning Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who were doorkeepers, that they had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. The king said, "What honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this?" Then the king's servants who attended him said, "Nothing's been done for him." So the king said, "Who's in the court?" Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace in order to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai on the gallows, which he'd prepared for him. The king's servant said to him, "Behold, Haman is standing in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king said to him, "What is to be done for the man who the king decides to honor?" And Haman said to himself, "Whom would the king desire more to honor than me?" Then Haman said to the king, "For the man whom the king desires to honor, let them bring a royal robe which the king has worn, and the horse on which the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown has been placed. And let the robe and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble princes, and let them array the man whom the king desires to honor, and lead him on horseback through the city square, and proclaim before him, 'Thus it shall be done to the man whom the king desires to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Take quickly the robes and the horse, as you have said, and do so for Mordecai the Jew, who is sitting at the king's gate. Do not fall short in anything that you have said." So Haman took the robe and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city square and proclaimed before him, "Thus it shall be done to the man whom the king desires to honor." Wow, I love that. Don't you love that? Say, hallelujah, God is in control, right? Here we see King Ahasuerus. He's having a bit of insomnia, right? This is divine insomnia. And he wakes up in the middle of the night. And he's trying to get back to sleep. And they didn't have sleeping pills back then. And so he calls for the book of Chronicles to be brought in and read to him. Sometimes being read to helps you fall asleep, right? So as they're reading to him, all of a sudden the king realizes that Mordecai, years earlier, had saved his life from an assassination plot. This is a big deal. And he immediately says, "What has been done for Mordecai?" And they say to him, "Nothing." Now the king immediately wants to make this right, right? So he calls in and says, "You know, what do we do? Who's in the court?" And they say, well, Haman's in the court. And so here we see Haman. He says, "Bring Haman in." And here comes, you know, Haman, the proud peacock that he was. And he struts in, you know, feathers showing. And the king asks him, "What do we do for the man whom I desire to honor?" And Haman thinks to himself, he must be talking about me. So what do I want done for myself, right? So he's dreaming up this. I mean, if you think about what he's saying, Scott, really? Bring a royal robe that the king has worn and have him ride on a horse that's the king's and led through the city and shout before him, "This is what happens to the man whom the king decides to honor." And the king's like, "That's awesome. Do it for Mordecai, the Jew." And Haman's like, I mean, can you imagine if this was a movie? I really want someone to make this into a movie. You can just see Haman's face just grow pale, right? Or maybe he turns around and he's red with rage, like, you know, and can't you just see him like getting the things together, like the robe and get the horse and, you know, he's leading Mordecai through the city streets and proclaiming this before everyone. Can you imagine? He was full of pride. Talk about a plot twist. I love it. And then what I really love about this chapter is Haman runs home like a little kid that didn't get what he wanted. And he goes and cries to his wife and his friends and tells them everything that happened in verse 13. And I love what they say. I love their response. Haman recounted to Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that happened to him. Then his wise men and Zeresh, his wife, said to him, "If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish origin, you will not overcome him, but will surely fall before him." I love that. I mean, really think about what they're saying. It's as if they knew Mordecai was God's child. You cannot mess with one of God's children. He always has their back. Isn't it amazing that they just knew something was special about this? When I was reading this chapter, I was trying to put myself in Mordecai's sandals. And I was thinking, okay, Lord, what do you want us to see? What do you want us to see as women of God? And I think one thing that we have to remember is that Mordecai was faithful in his service to the king without recognition, without a pat on the back, without a thank you, without an award for years. It had been years since he had uncovered this assassination plot and the king found out about it. This wasn't overnight. The book of Esther, it kind of seems like it's overnight. Things go really, really quick. But in fact, it had been years and nothing. He'd saved the king's life. Now, it would have been easy for Mordecai to just quit, right? Well, I saved the king's life and nothing's happened. I'm just going to quit my job, right? Don't we see that in society? If we don't get what we want, then we quit. I'm done. I'm over. One word came to mind when I thought of Mordecai, and that was faithful. He was faithful. He was a man of faithfulness in his servant to the king. The definition of faithful is loyal, firm in keeping promises or in fulfilling duties. One synonym is steadfast. He was loyal. He was steadfast, even in the face of pride and persecution and discouragement. He was faithful in his service to the king. He didn't grow weary and he didn't give up. And as I was thinking about this as Christian women, so often as women of God, godly moms, godly wives, godly children, godly employees, godly grandmothers, we can so easily get discouraged in our service to the king, in the day in and the day out of serving others and doing things as unto Jesus. We can get weary. We can get tired. And I feel like there's so many women in here today that maybe you've walked in and you're just worn out. You're worn thin. And you just wish that someone could see the things that you're doing for the Lord. And that's our first point. Don't grow weary. God sees you. I think that we could fall into a few different categories here today, and I kind of want to just quickly go through them. And the first category is the moms, the mamas. How many of you are moms out here today? Almost all of us, quite a few, right? And maybe you've come in here and you're just exhausted. You are trying to be the mom that God wants you to be. You are trying to display godly attributes and characteristics to your children. You're trying to display patience, love, forgiveness, kindness, the love of Christ. And somewhere in between the meals that have to be cooked and the piles of laundry, how can so many little bodies have so much laundry, right? I think I counted the other day, I did like 5 loads. And I'm thinking, I have a 5-month-old and a 7-year-old and a husband. 5 loads of laundry. It was insane, right? And then throw in a dog and it's just the end. You're cooking meals, you're grocery shopping, you're meal planning, you're getting your kids off to school. For those of you that have infants such as myself, you're up all hours of the night. You're feeding them, you're loving them, you're holding them, you're drying tears, you're dealing with temper tantrums in the middle of the grocery store when you just want to run and hide. For those of you that have children in school, you're getting them off to school, then you're listening to the day's drama. For those of you that have teenagers, you're wondering, who are you and what have you done with my child? You're dealing with emotional tantrums, right? Hormones. You're dealing with difficult situations. Your children are getting involved in things that you wish they never would. And you're having to pray on your hands and knees. Maybe some of you have just sent your children off to college, or now they're married, but your job as a mom hasn't stopped, right? You're still praying for them every day. You're there when they call you. My mom, I love her so much. I call her so much, and she's always there for godly wisdom, godly direction, and to pray for me. You don't stop being a mom when your kids grow up. Some of you may be grandmothers, and you're still praying. You're praying for those grandchildren. You're praying for your children. And sometimes the enemy can come in and he can discourage us so much and say, nobody cares about what you do. Your job's not important. No one cares. No one sees. It doesn't matter how hard you're working. No one recognizes it. And social media doesn't help, right? Because you get on there and every mom seems like they have it all together. That they've got it going on, the outfits, the hair, they're holding down these jobs, making $50,000, $100,000 a year, and you're thinking, I just made it to church and have macaroni and cheese in my hair, right? And you wonder, is this reality? It's not reality. It's social media, and it's not reality. Moms, you have one of the most important jobs on earth, whether you're 20 or you're 90. You're a mother, and God has called you to be a mother. And you know what? He sees you, and you are important to him. And every sacrifice you've made for those children, he sees it, he loves you, and he's in your corner. You are storing treasure in heaven. Another category you might come into here today is the wives, the godly wives. And maybe you don't have a husband that is kind and loving. Maybe he's not a believer. Maybe he's harsh. Maybe he's rude. Maybe the burden of working is on your shoulders, the finances. Or maybe he works so much he's never home. And you're trying to love him and submit to him as unto Jesus, and you're just worn out. He doesn't do flowers or birthdays or anniversary cards. He's not loving. And maybe here today you think, do I matter? Does anyone see what I go through at home? Does anyone see the tears that I've cried? And how I am trying to submit to my husband as unto the Lord, and I am trying to love that man? God sees you. God cares. He's in your corner. He is proud of you, godly wife. He sees every sacrifice you've made for that man. Maybe some of you are just struggling in the day in and day out of picking up the dirty socks on the floor. And you wonder, how? How does this man always leave his dirty socks on the floor? Don't they seem to pop out of everywhere? There's one popping out of the couch, one under the couch, one on your pillow. And you wonder why. And then you realize, but wait a minute. If I'm looking at my husband through the lens of Jesus Christ, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how hard it is, really everything that I do, from loving this difficult man to picking up his dirty socks, I'm really doing it as unto Jesus. And boy, does that change your attitude. It changes it. And every time you pick up those socks, it sounds funny, but it's true. I'm doing this for Jesus. I really don't want to cook his dinner right now, but I'm doing it for Jesus. I really don't want to love him right now, but I'm doing it as unto Jesus. Godly wives, God has not forgotten you. He loves you, and you're storing treasure in heaven. I love that in Isaiah chapter 54, we're told that God is our real husband. It says, for your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He's not harsh. He's not demanding. He's not rude. And he never forgot your birthday. He remembers you. He loves you. Maybe you're a godly employee in here today, and you're working really hard in your job, and it's rough because no one around you is a Christian. And maybe you've got a Haman, so to speak, at your workplace. And they know you're a believer, and they're doing everything they can to make your life miserable. They try to give you the worst schedules. They say things behind your back. They say things aren't true. And maybe they got the promotion, and you didn't. And you're working hard. You're clocking in on time. You don't clock out early. You're not on your smartphone during work. You're being honoring to the Lord. You're loving those unlovable people at your retail job. And you think, nobody sees me. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to be the light shining in the dark place at my work? Yes, it is, ladies, because God is watching. I love what Colossians 3 tells us. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. It's God that you're serving, not that human employer. Not Haman that works in the desk next to you. You're serving God. He sees you. He has not forgotten you. You're storing treasure in heaven. The last category the Lord put on my heart is you single women and you young women out there. And you are trying so hard in this wicked and perverse generation to stand up for Jesus Christ. You are trying so hard and it is so difficult. You don't dress like the other girls. You don't talk like the other girls. You're not showing off your body on Instagram. You know that you're temple of the Holy Spirit. You're trying to honor God with your life and it's so hard. Maybe some of you single ladies are waiting for the man that God would bring in your life. You're not compromising. Maybe some of you have made a commitment to purity and you've said, I'm going to stay pure until my wedding day. Oh, that's not a popular topic nowadays. Deciding to stay pure, they look at you like you're from Mars. And it's so sad. And you said, no, I'm going to stay pure. And the temptation is so thick and it's so fierce. And you might think, you know what? I'm just going to go to that party. I'm just going to drink that one drink. I'm just going to go ahead and have sex because you know what? This is too hard. Don't do it, girls. Stay faithful. Stand strong. Commit to your purity. And maybe you say, well, I've already messed up in the past. I've already lost my purity. That's okay. Because if you've made a commitment, you can be pure from this day on, right? So it doesn't matter about the past. You commit to be pure from this day forward and you stick with it. You stick with it. And you be the woman that God has called you to be. And whether you're single and you're 20 or you're single and you're 50, you're still called to the same standard. Keep going, girls. Don't give up. God sees you. He has not forgotten you. And he has an amazing plan for your life. You are storing treasure in heaven. But how quickly we can forget about this. And the list could go on of different categories that we could find ourselves in here today. But God sees you. He loves you. He's not forgotten you. Let's go to God's word and see what encouragement we can find. I love Galatians 6:9. It says, let us not become weary in doing good. For in due season, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Don't grow weary. Don't give up where you're at today. You're going to reap a harvest if you don't give up. For those of you that might be feeling forgotten here today, forgotten, Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you've helped his people and continue to help them. In Isaiah 49, we read, God says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she's born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Everyone else may forget what you've done. Your children, your husband, your coworkers, your friends. But God will not forget you. He will not forget what you've done in service to him. And in the life of Mordecai, we see this so beautifully, don't we? After years of just faithfully serving his king, he finally gets recognized. And in the middle of the night, God wakes the king up at just the right time in our story in Esther. Just as Haman thinks he's going to get the final blow. Just as Haman thinks, that's it. He's going down. I built the gallows. God steps in. The king hears about what Mordecai did, and it all happens from there. He gets honored. He gets honored. All throughout our story, we might have started to get a little worried, right? Like, is Haman going to prevail? Is evil going to win? What's going to happen? But God is always working in ways, ladies, that we can't see. He's always working in ways that we can't see. I love what Proverbs 16:18 says. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And as we read in our lesson this week, Proverbs 29:23, pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. God was not blind to Mordecai's faithfulness or to Haman's pride. God was not blind to Mordecai's faithfulness or to Haman's pride. Mordecai's faithfulness, without being seen, without being recognized, led to honor and reward. Haman's pride and self-righteousness led to fall and destruction of his own life. Mordecai was faithful and he was humble. James 4:6 tells us God opposes the proud, but he gives favor to the humble. I pray as women of God, in whatever category we find ourselves today, that two words will describe our lives, that we are humble and that we are faithful. Humble and faithful, regardless of how we go unnoticed and unrewarded in this life, regardless of how we are mistreated and misunderstood, may we be humble and may we be faithful in our service to our King. Mordecai was faithful and humble, even under persecution. He was faithful in his job as a simple gatekeeper. He was just a gatekeeper. I love what David says in Psalm 84:10. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. We may just be doorkeepers, so to speak, as moms, as wives, as godly employees, as young women who desire to serve the Lord. It may not be a place of popularity or a place of esteem or recognition in the world's eyes, but if you're doing it as unto the Lord, as unto your King, there is a reward, ladies. It's the most wonderful place to be. You wouldn't want to be anywhere else, would you? You wouldn't want to be in the tents of the wicked. There's no reward in that. But is there a reward for this kind of life? Is there a reward for our faithfulness to our King? And ladies, yes, the answer is yes, yes, and yes. We see in Mordecai's life that he received an earthly reward, and it was pretty cool. And we were all so happy for Mordecai when it happened for him. We said, yes, Lord, thank you. This is great. This is great. But what about us in our service to the King? That brings us to our second point. Your reward is coming. Treasure in heaven. One thing that all of us have to realize here today is that we may never receive a reward here on this earth. We may never receive recognition or a plaque on the wall, mom of the year, wife of the century, or a reward for being pure here in this life. It may not happen. And this is where we need to set our eyes on the heavenly reward. If you expect to receive a reward here on this earth, you will be depressed, disgruntled, and disappointed. If you expect to receive a reward here on this earth for all you do, you will be depressed, disgruntled, and disappointed. Once again, we're reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where it's not going to be destroyed. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Are you storing your treasure in heaven? Every time you pick up those socks as unto Jesus, it's treasure in heaven. Every time you love that difficult man, it is treasure in heaven. Every time you love those babies and you get up in the middle of the night, it's treasure in heaven. Every time you pray for your wayward child, your teenagers, your grandchildren, it's treasure in heaven. Every time you make a decision to say, I'm not going down that road, I'm not doing that thing, I'm being the young woman God wants me to be, there's treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. And all throughout Scripture, we read about the various rewards and treasures that will be in heaven. We are told about various crowns that are going to be given in heaven. I love James chapter 1, verse 12. It said, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. When you persevere under trial, you will receive the crown of life. We read in Scripture about different crowns, the imperishable crown, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory. In our chapter, we read that Mordecai had a royal robe placed on him. In Revelation, we read that the martyrs who die for their faith will receive white robes in heaven. In our lesson, we also learned about the robe of righteousness, didn't we? And in Isaiah 61:10, we read, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. I love that. In Matthew 5:12, Jesus says that when we're persecuted for our faith, our reward is great in heaven. Our reward is great in heaven. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, we read that things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, which have not entered to the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. There's more. Jesus went to prepare a place for us in heaven. We have a place waiting for us in heaven with our King, where there's not going to be any more tears, any more pain, any more suffering, any more persecution, any more heartbreak. We have a place waiting for us. And you know what, ladies? I think the greatest treasure of all is going to just be with Jesus. Who cares about a crown or a robe, right? We're not going to care about what crown we're receiving when we get to heaven or what robe. All we're going to care about is that we're there. We're with Jesus, and he's the greatest reward of all. He is the greatest treasure of all. You're going to get a big hug from Jesus, and he is going to look in your eyes and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to the kingdom." That's going to be the greatest reward of all. And when you think of it that way, it's worth all the sacrifice, isn't it? It's worth the tears. It's worth not being recognized or noticed, sometimes even feeling loved, when we know that our Heavenly Father loves you more than anyone ever will. Your Heavenly King loves you more than anyone on this earth. And all that you do, all that you're doing, has not gone unnoticed. He loves you. He has not forgotten you. Don't grow weary. God didn't forget Mordecai. He didn't forget his faithful service to the king. And he got a reward here on this earth, but I think our reward's going to be a lot greater in heaven. It's going to be so much greater. We're going to be with Jesus. He has a plan. He has a reward waiting. So hang in there, ladies. Don't give up. The time is short. Remain faithful. Remain faithful to where God has you here today. Remain faithful and don't grow weary in your service to your loving King. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I'm so thankful that you are our King and you are a loving, forgiving, gracious King who sees every aspect of our lives. And you have not forgotten us. You have not forgotten our hard work. Father, I thank you that even if nobody else sees what we do, you see it. And you love us. And the greatest reward, Father, will be to be with you. Oh God, would you set our hearts on eternity? Would you set our hearts on the treasure in heaven? You are the treasure, Jesus. We love you, God. We thank you for today. We pray you'd go before us in the rest of our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.